Hey, this is your producer, Duff. What you're about to listen to is filled with witty rants and dry humor. While our show can be very entertaining, we feel we must caution the close-minded among us. There's foul, dirty fits of geeked-out rage and all-around bad attitudes ahead. Can't say we didn't warn you. So, keep your hands away from your private parts and your ears engaged at all times. This is Prime. Hello and welcome to the Almighty Prime Podcast here on Rogue Intel. The week can be tough, but listening to us might make it a little bit better. My name is Duff. I am your producer. With me, as always, is Carrie. How are you, Carrie?
I am semi-conscious. Not enough coffee, I guess.
But... Well, there's always more coffee, but we have to actually go make it. And right now we're doing a show, so no coffee for you.
Yeah, I kind of already figured that.
Mike is running a little bit late, so he will be here for the second half of the show. But we do have a special guest with us today, Jimmy Williams from the Touche El Douche podcast.
What up, Dow?
What up, man? How you doing?
What's up, baby?
Not a whole lot, man. Hey, I gotta say, I've been wanting to get you on the show, well, since you guys came on the network.
I'm so flattered. I don't know why, but I'll be flattered anyway.
Well, I'm glad you will be flattered. I'm not sure the Touche El Douche podcast will be so flattered because, well, you know the deal with that.
Yeah, Trevor's not flattered about it at all.
Hey, I'd love to hear some dirt on this shit. Hey, before we get on to the dirt talking, I do want to wish your daughter a happy birthday. Sarah, you rock. I know it's a little late, but hey, you were supposed to come on like 2 weeks ago.
Hey, no, a belated birthday, she'll take it. I mean, she'll take anything. She's very big on gifts.
Well, that's good, even if it's just a verbal shout-out?
Yeah, compliments, gifts, yeah, she's awesome that way.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. yeah, so now anyone who follows Jimmy Williams on Facebook is going to know that your daughter got into an accident and she's got a battle wound now. What happened with that?
Oh, she was driving with boys. You got to watch it, guys. Got to watch it, you know, when they get to be teenagers. Yeah, she was driving with boys, like her and three dudes. I guess one of them she might have been seeing. I don't know, but those are her friends, you know, because pretty girls got to have boyfriends, right? So she's cruising around with these guys. They're in Kentucky where you got these long roads, and it's really trippy. And I guess they were parked and at an intersection, and this guy was driving his tow truck. They were in a pickup truck and he collided with them while they were parked, and she didn't have a belt on and she was sitting in between two guys, and she busted her forehead on the guy's shoulder next to her, and then I think that guy fractured his head, and there was a couple more broken bones. None of them died, but she got a lacerated spleen and a huge scar on her forehead.
Oh, wow.
Frankenstein scar. Yeah.
That's no bueno at all.
No, it was scary. It was fucking scary. I had no idea that, you know, like you can worry so much about your kid like that. Like until the first time she didn't come home on the bus, that freaked me out really bad. And then this thing freaked me out really bad when I saw the pictures. But, you know, she was alive and she's in the hospital and she's showing me these pictures. But just the thought that something really bad could have happened was scary because, you know, it just wasn't, you know, unexpected. Like, you know, she's parked somewhere and then bam, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely a shock to the system.
Yeah, she's not all traumatized about it at all, which is pretty cool. She just let that roll right off of her back. She's kind of vain, you know, and the scar didn't even faze her.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. She just made it work. She's like, nah, it's just making things more evil.
Well, that is entirely badass. So,
well, the whole thing with it not traumatizing her, that comes with age. You know, you're young, you're invincible. That just kind of rolls off.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's one thing about it. But I got into a car accident when I was 13, and I'd never really driven a car. I've gotten a permit, and stuff like that, but I've never really put my whole heart into like getting a car, paying the insurance and driving around because I just don't feel safe when I'm driving. I don't mind other people driving, but when I'm driving, I don't feel that safe. And it's I trace it back to having that car accident when I was 13. I was learning how to drive and I drove right into a gas station. They had to turn off the pumps.
Ooh.
I hit another car and that car went into the food mart. It was an Amoco. And it's like 1982.
You were 13 in 82?
Yeah, baby.
Man, you do not look that old.
Yeah, thank you.
Not that that's old. I'm not saying anything.
Oh, no, no, no. I've been old because when you have kids, they make you old. Like, right? Because like Sarah's, when I had Sarah, I was 30. So by the time Sarah could talk, she was calling me ancient. She'd be like, how old are you? And I'd tell her, and she'd be like, oh, God, Dad, you're ancient. And you're just so old, you know. So you just go, yeah, I'm in my 30s, I'm old, you know. Yeah. I'm in my 40s, I'm old, you know, so whatever. You get used to it. But, yeah, back in 82, I was learning how to drive. My dad was teaching me, and it was so messed up because he had to pay for the damages and – I was traumatized. I really was. I was like, oh, fuck cars. Oh my God. But I wish I hadn't been. I wish I had gotten it right and stuff because my friends that had cars and they did it a lot better with the girls and they went to a lot more parties and stuff than I did. I should have just stuck to it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is what it is. You know, some people drive, some people don't.
You know, I rationalized that. I went, Spike Lee don't drive, Woody Allen don't drive. You know,
yeah, but see, that's the difference. They have drivers.
Yeah, they did, they do. But I always go, you know, no, but they always didn't. They didn't always have drivers. There's one scene of Woody driving in the movie Annie Hall.
Yeah,
and I think he gets into a car wreck. Yeah.
So, Carrie, what have you been up to this week?
Yeah, Carrie, what have you been up to?
Working, trying not to kill people. You know, same old, same old.
What do you do?
I work for an insurance company. I do enrollment and billing and pretty much just listen to music for 8 hours while I'm at work trying not to kill people.
That sounds like a freaking mass shooting in the making right there.
Yeah, I always look around to see if there's a large tower I can climb.
I know that's. It's got to be tempting. Like every day, just looking at them going, you're so easy. You're just so easy.
Yeah, because their quote-unquote security is a joke. You know, at one point they had an 80-year-old man who just recently retired. And it was like, I can probably crawl faster than you can walk, dude. How are you security?
I love it. They don't think they need them. That's when you see that 80-year-old man, they're like, we don't really need security, but it's like something to do with, you know, we have to have it, you know, it's a regulation, right. Blah, 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 blah. You know, but they'll just put that person there, and then you'll see it, and you'll be like, easy, Mark! I could just go in here, I wax his old ass real fast, take out the rest of you suckers.
Exactly.
But I'll be a legend! A legend!
The thing of it is, though, the company I work for has gotten numerous bomb threats. Different people that work there have been threatened that, you know.
It's an insurance company, right? I mean,
yeah. So it's like, I think you might want to upgrade your security here a little bit, just a little bit.
Yeah, times are getting hairy out there. Everybody needs to upgrade their security.
Yeah, and then with the whole Trump and not wanting to do, you know, the Obamacare, you know, we're having to raise rates. They're jacking the rates up like another 50% this year. So I'm sure the threats are going to start rolling in here anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a, you know, that's your job though. You know, it's your job and I got to respect other people's ways of making a living and stuff. But yeah, I look at the insurance companies and I go, yeah, it's not going to, or it's going to clash, it's going to rub with the people hard sooner or later. If they're intelligent, if the populace is intelligent, they'll look at insurance one day and go, what the fuck?
Well, and, yeah, it's like Bernie Sanders, his new thing is he wants to get rid of all of the private insurance companies and make it Medicare for everyone, kind of like they do in Europe and England and whatnot. Yeah. And it's like, well, there goes that job security.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, sacrificing your job for other people's health, it's rough, I know.
Just a little bit.
It's a tough world. It's because of capitalism. I look at capitalism and I go, it's like it's an addiction and it's an ideology and it's almost like a religion. So our country is based on it. So it's just so based on it that it's something like social medicine or social universities, things where people can go to universities for free or people can get people just don't understand it. They really can't get their head around it. And they've been all the propaganda, like you got propaganda in socialism, you got propaganda in communism, you got propaganda in capitalism. We buy into the propaganda of capitalism so hard because we're indoctrinated since we were young and we're just like, you can't be getting nothing for free.
Right. Like, well, it's not just the insurance company. It is the doctors. It's the hospitals. It's the whole
pharmaceutical company.
Right. Yeah. So to me, if you would regulate, you know, what you can charge for a drug, you know, what you can charge for a hospital stay, what a doctor can charge you for, you know, a stitch or their office visit, you know, if you can put that into the realm of, you know, I could pay that out of pocket if I really, really had to over this, well, God forbid you get cancer because you've just totally decimated that person's finances, their family's finances, you know, for generations trying to pay for you to get some sort of
medication. A lot of people don't do it. They Ronda Rousey's dad, he killed himself because he knew that his family couldn't handle the bills.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people really do that. Yeah, a lot of people will decide, okay, so I have cancer. If I were to get treated, what are the odds? Well, you know, it's you'd be better off buying a lotto ticket. Okay, well, then I'm not going to do anything. And, you know, there goes the chance of maybe living. Now, granted, I do believe that the herd needs to be thinned. So in some cases, that works out. But no, we're not getting into all that.
Oh, my God.
We have a whole segment called Carrie's Purge Report. We just let her go to town. Shut up.
I feel her. I mean, like, Bill Burr's into that, too. He's totally, like, thin the herd. Mm-hmm. And I feel, and how I look at it is like, well, I don't want to thin the herd. I just want to thin some of the herd, some people. Just I wish I could specifically nail some people, and I'd be like, the rest of you guys are okay. But, you know, it's just good. Because to me, when you thin the herd, the people that really get thinned out are the poorest and weakest and meekest people.
They get purged. I believe it needs to be based on, do you need to have the warning label on the hairdryer to not use it in the shower? If you need that, we don't need you. Bye. You know, it's not so much what your how much money you have in the bank or, you know, how many degrees you have, because there are people with a shit ton of degrees that are dumber than fucking dirt. And it's like, well, you might be able to be an engineer and do this or that, but you can't function in society. So you kind of have to weigh the odds. You know, it's the people that walk around with their heads up their asses thinking that the world revolves around them. And
you can't thin those people out.
Well, sure you can. I don't need the Kardashians. I don't need Kanye. They can all go.
Here's the problem with thinning those people out. The reason that Kanye is because there are people that made Kanye. And the reason the Kardashians are like they are is because there's a group of people around them that supported that and kind of made that kind of happen. They enabled that. And that's got to stop. And those people can be totally people that are rational, wouldn't go into the shower with their hair dryer or anything like that. But they're the ruthless, evil capitalist pigs that promote this insipid shit.
Yeah.
You know? You got to get rid of them people. Those are the people, not the people that are walking around just being manipulated. And no, the people that do the manipulating.
No, if you're that weak that you can be manipulated into thinking you're God, Or manipulated into thinking, oh, if I do a sex tape, I'm going to be rich and famous. Well, yeah, you might be, but you're dumber than dirt and you're popping out units that we don't need.
It's so true, but you use that because in your little circle, it's okay. It's okay. You're being reinforced by it.
The whole circle needs to be eliminated.
Yeah, but that circle was created by other people to profit off of those people.
They need to go too.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about, girl. I'm saying you don't understand. Like, if you live in a matrix, you can't tell people that they're not in. You got to wake them up with a red pill. They don't know that's their reality, so they think it's real. They think you're the real weird one, and you're judging them from the outside, and from the inside, they can't see anything. Because they're just in a box. So you basically got to stop the people from putting people in boxes. Stop them. Stop them people.
Well, I'm going to stop you real quick because we've got a special announcement. It's a little late, but better late than never. What's up, Mike?
What's this? What's happening? What's going on?
What's going on, people?
How nice of you to finally join us.
Hey, I don't know if you know this, but we got two black men on the show tonight.
Three.
That's right. Okay. Carrie identifies. Oh, that's right. I don't know if you know this, Jimmy, but Carrie identifies as a tall black man.
I do that to make Mike feel not so lonely on the show.
Well, I guess.
Some people can identify as like animals, you can identify as, a tall black man. I've heard people identify as mythological creatures.
I identify as a goat.
Well, I would like to say, what's going on, Mr. Jimmy? How you doing, brother?
What's up, baby? How you doing? They finally got me. They got me, man.
Also, I was listening to the conversation. I was eating my morning donuts.
You eat donuts every morning?
Plain?
No. Carrie and Duffy might know about this place called Fractured Prune.
I've heard of it. I've never had a donut from there, so need to.
Well, me and my little fam, we love them. We love them because it's like the custom made donuts. You get everything on them. But while I was munching and crunching on that, I heard about the thinning out of the herd. And as always, I just have to say the Hitler of my dreams.
Dude, you're always bringing that up. Always.
And Jimmy, do you know what that means when I say the Hitler of my dreams?
You don't listen to the shit.
Well, there's always a good Hitler of my dreams. When I think of the Hitler of a lot of people's dreams, I think of Jesus coming back to slay the wicked and separate the goats from the sheep.
I will have to say that is a different take, but this actually is a Carrie thing. I don't know if she wants to fully explain all that.
No, there's no need to fully explain it. You've done more than enough explaining for the rest of the world.
But if he hasn't heard it, then it doesn't make sense.
Go back and listen to a past Prime episode called The Hitler of My Dreams. It'll fully explain everything, I assure you.
I think it's self-explanatory.
Yeah, I'm saying it kind of is.
You get it.
It boils down to what you guys were saying about the thinning out of the herd, and I wanted to jump in so bad. It's like, but yeah.
Them donuts was too good, baby.
They were too good. But then Duffy was like, wait a second, not yet. It was like, double it. She's like, don't jump in yet. I was like, all right, I'm ready.
Yeah. So now that you are here, Jimmy, you were saying before the show that you've been talking to our buddy Trevor, and
oh my God, yeah,
you want to get pat is back, baby. Pat is back.
Hey, we can get into that, man. Get into it, expert.
I just want to say that ever since that little thing happened with Mr. Trevor. I've been calling Patrick Petty Patty because he's normally a very nonchalant, easygoing guy. Usually people talk about him. He doesn't really do a whole lot of talking back. But that whole scene just turned him into the person I knew he was. And I was like, no, there it is.
It brought out his inner Carrie.
That's what it is. That's
Trevor,
what it is.
Trevor has that effect on people.
He will bring
out the best in you for sure.
You have the worst of you.
You have to stand up and say, this is bullshit.
So please just explain, Mr. Jimmy.
There's no need to explain like what was already rehashed on the show.
No. I'm talking about. I'm 10 minutes later, more. So I don't know if you guys.
What else is new?
Well, he was. He was wondering what we were specifically talking about. And I think it's basically what's happened with me and Trevor and Sean since this whole kerfuffle.
Yeah, because like last I heard, Trevor was holding out for like some podcast network, Radio Misfits, that is essentially filled with like insanely really good people, popular podcasts.
Popular people, yeah. He aims high. Aims high.
So
aim for the stars. Yeah, you'll land on the moon.
There you go. What exactly has gone on since the demise of the network relationship?
Absolutely nothing. We haven't done one podcast.
Seriously, what the hell? Really?
Nope, we haven't done anything. Trevor got off the grid, man. He reports every now and then. I'll get a message and it'll be like, we'll start next week, people. Oh, can't do it this week. This Irma stuff and blah blah. We'll start next week, and so we're supposed to start up again next week. And his feelings are hurt. And when Trevor's feelings are hurt, it's a really messy thing. Because you have to know yourself and know your feelings to combat that stuff. You have to actually know that your feelings are hurt.
Does he realize that he did this to himself? Like, I held off for so long.
No. There's no.
Yeah, he doesn't, there's no way he knows.
If he doesn't know that his feelings are hurt, he doesn't know what happened. Really, he's looking at it through Trevor vision, and Trevor vision is you messed up, Duff. You stepped over the line, man. You can't tell that boy he can't have boobies. You're censoring him.
I wasn't. That's the thing.
Well, I'm just saying how it looks, you know, the eyes of Trevor.
Oh, man.
Which are the only eyes that matter in that case, because he's not going to see it through. I tried to talk to him for hours about it. Sean talked to him.
Oh, I know.
And whatever it is, he deflects it. So it's like Bruce Lee with that deflection.
He is a deflection master.
Yeah, you can't mess with it, man. You just got to wait. You just got to go, I planted the seed. Now let's see. Let's just see if something grows.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for talking to him, because he did call me afterwards, and I was able to verbally explain to him what he did wrong. Even though he was apologizing, he still didn't know what he did wrong.
That's right there, boy. You got to be... Now, Jimmy, I know this is your man and all that good stuff.
Yeah, you go break it down, baby.
Your head has to be so far up your ass on that. Because it's like, listen, it's like, look, I'm sorry, I don't know. Okay, yeah, I slapped you in the face, but I don't see what the big deal is.
He'll do that. He'll do that. He'll literally smack you in the face and then say, why are you upset about it?
Yeah, like, seriously, I don't want to hurt my hand.
It's just a smack, you know? Plus, that hurt me more than it hurt you, man.
Yeah, my hands are stinking and whatnot.
I'm going to be thinking about that later, too. I'm going to be like, damn, I smacked him. You know? Come on. You know, that's Trevor, man.
See, to me, that boils down to the whole, this is why you don't give participation ribbons, and this is why you smack your child's ass.
Thank you.
I'm gonna tell you guys something, and it's not to bolster up Trevor too much. It's just to give you a little bit of insight.
Okay.
But the thing about Trevor... is that it's almost like he missed his destiny in a weird way. Trevor was groomed since he was a kid, since a little kid to make movies, to be a filmmaker.
Yeah.
And to be into the movies by his parents, basically. They took him to film shoots. Like, he was at the Taps film shoot where Tom Cruise shot off that machine gun.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he was there for that when he was just a little kid. And he always kind of knew what he wanted to do, and his mother was his rock. That was this woman that believed in him, beautiful woman, completely kind and gentle, like the perfect mother. She died of cancer, devastated Trevor when he was a teenager. He went all goth. Him and Sean were really tight at the time. And he's been trying to find his way back to who he really is ever since, and it's been wrapped up in the loss of his mother. That's the truth, Ruth, and then all the other shit that we have to deal with comes on top of that truth. And I just breaking that down. Like, he's no excuse for this bullshit. It's just, this is the foundation.
How old is he?
In his 30s.
He's 38.
Yeah, 38. Dude, I've known Trevor since he was 20.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, so you know this.
Yeah,
I get that, because I've seen people just completely lose it when they're, you know, a parent that they're really close to dies. They never kind of bounce back. They're never really the same person. But at the same time...
And it depends on their personality, like what kind of personality you have. and when that stuff happens to you. And it, and the thing about Trevor is that he has all these great ideas and he gets all this energy up to do stuff. Sean too. And then they don't really go all the way through with it. You know, they get diverged into other
but
things.
Sean's
like
actually
all of a sudden
in the business though.
He's, like, he's in the business, but I'm saying Sean was going to be a filmmaker. Sean was going to be a disc jockey. Sean, you know what I'm saying? And then Sean's doing this because that's Sean's zigging and zagging. And now this is the, where he's at, which is great. It's better off than where me and Trevor ended up zigging and zagging, but he's zigging and he zigged and zagged to get there. And Trevor was just supposed to just be this filmmaker.
Yeah.
And he's been trying to do everything else but that. And and he just keeps going back to it. So he'll go to, like, he'll get into the radio thing, but his heart is with his puppets. And then he'll get into the podcast thing, but his heart is really into, like, you know, trying to make another movie or something. So it's always this weird.
He hasn't even made
stuff.
A movie yet. Like, the process is not out.
No, it's not out. But you know,
isn't that a movie from like over a decade?
That movie, we made that movie from 2002 to 2007. It got showed at one film festival, and we showed it at a college and a coffee shop and a couple of parties or whatever. And that was our way of you know, saying we had a film and we made a film.
Yeah, but
Trevor,
like, put it out
Trevor
on
really
Blu-ray.
Helped me make it. Well, that's what he's trying to do right now. But back to the subject at hand, which is Trevor's fucked upness. Now, here's the thing about that. Trevor cannot understand when he does something wrong. And it's really getting bad lately because he needs Sean. He needs Sean.
He really
Sean
does. Doesn't,
Sean doesn't need him like that, but he needs Sean. And the thing that Sean does need from Trevor is that unconditional, always got your back, love and friendship. That's what they got with each other. They can call each other all kinds of names. They can get in the ins and the outs, but they always come back together. That's the need that Sean has. Trevor has a lot more need of Sean because Sean can rationally think better.
Yeah.
He can, you know, he can get into places and not fuck them up. Like, he'll get a job somewhere. He's not going to insult the boss's wife. He's not going to, you know. Trevor will do some crazy stuff. Like, they had a radio show. And the guy told them, you know, the head of this, they were on a radio station, and the program director said, "Look, you're gonna have this reverend in here. It's a real reverend, a real minister.
Oh,
you're gonna interview him, but you can't do anything." Yeah, tell me about it. But he didn't know. He thought, you know, he had a couple of people that knew what they were doing, and Sean did, and Sean had a talk with Trevor. He said, "Trevor, please don't fuck this up, please." And they were doing the show, and the guy was talking, and then Trevor asked him, right in the middle of a sentence, he goes, "So how many times a day do you masturbate?"
Oh my God.
He could not fucking help it. And that's what this is. That is exactly what happened this time. He cannot help it. When he is feeling like there's a way that he can be getting to a certain path, and he's on that path, there's this little demon on his shoulder that's like, "Man, fuck that. Tell Duffy to stick it up his ass."
You know what's so funny? And I was telling Duffy and them, I was like, well, he was using that whole like kind of freedom of speech thing. Like he was turning like a little kerfuffle, like a small thing.
Yeah, a mountain
like
into a big ass.
Oh man,
and it was like a mountain. Yep.
And throwing other shit on it that had nothing to do with it. I'm like, what are you talking about? Freedom of speech? I was like, he asked you to cover up a nipple just so he could show it on the website. Like, that's it. He didn't say you couldn't even put the chick up there. So it was just one of those things, and I see that's kind of like, I don't know how well of a comedian he is, and I don't want shit on the man too much or anything like that. But I noticed a lot of comedians do that. What I told them, and I'm like, bro, I get it. I totally get the First Amendment, but there's still consequences that come with everything. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just say or do what you want just because it came to your mind. And then another thing, it seems like he's his biggest obstacle. Like, if he could get over himself.
Everybody's their biggest obstacle. And Trevor's got a mountain in front of, like, Everest, K2 or some shit.
And that wasn't a fat joke either.
No, that's just the literal ego and the fucking denial and everything else just piled up in big crevices and ranges and snowy. Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's what are you going to do? You know,
how does he feel about, like, you guys? Like, because it's funny. It's like, it'd be different if everybody said this behind his back and nobody really talked to him.
He thinks Patrick is breaking us apart.
I knew it. That's what I was trying to get to.
Trevor said, He's trying to break. He's trying to drive a wedge between us, man.
I'm not trying to do anything. All I said was I have nothing against you, Jimmy, and I have nothing against Sean. And
no, see, you don't understand. See, you got to look it through the Trevor vision. See, in Trevor vision, and Trevor vision, he did something that shouldn't have called for his dismissal, right?
And that's not what caused his dismissal, by the way.
Well, see, I'm just saying what his vision is. We all know what really happened.
Yeah.
Just talking about what Trevor thinks. And so basically, that dismissal led to you and being able to do stuff with Sean when he was doing stuff with Sean, and then you taking his other best friend and saying, "Hey, man, come on to the podcast." And in Trevor's eyes, "Search are trying to come between us, boys."
And the funny thing about it is, we did it for him first. Like wasn't Trevor like first on, or was it Sean and Trevor?
And it was Sean and Trevor, and then what had happened was Sean approached us and asked to be considered for the network for table reads. But then I started listening to Trevor's show, and I'm like, you know, this guy's funny. And yeah, it was. So, I was like, hey, you know, you want to put it on the network? And he's like, yeah, sure. You know, we don't censor. And I'm like, yeah, well, as long as you're not doing any hate speech, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys, tone it down with the N-bomb a little bit. Which he never did.
Which never happened.
Yeah.
Never.
I mean, he says it more than the black man on his show. That's
when you said turn it down, when you said turn it on an N-bomb, that was just saying turn it up. I mean,
quick question, Jimmy. Because you've been like physically around him, correct?
Dude, me and Trevor
lived with him.
Me and Trevor are so tight. You don't understand.
Now here's the other question.
All right.
How many times has Trevor gotten y'all into trouble, or is it just mostly when he's like on the internet or something like that he goes crazy?
Oh, right. One time I almost got into a fight with a guy who threatened to stab him when we were at a Starbucks, and I had Sarah with me.
What did he do? Was it like
Trevor was talking to the guy's girlfriend. And that's all he did. And that's why I almost jumped into it, because it wasn't like Trevor was really hitting on the girl or anything. He was just talking. Uh-huh. And the guy's sitting there. He's like some 18-year-old white kid with his shirt, with one of those short sleeve collared shirts, with it unbuttoned down to like his navel, you know, trying to look all sexy college cool. And he looked up at Trevor and he was like, "Say something, I'll stab you, man." I was like, "Did you say you were gonna stab him?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "You don't tell anybody you're gonna stab them unless you pull out a knife and get ready to stab him." I was ready to jump on that guy's ass. I'm from Detroit, motherfucker. You don't threaten to stab a motherfucker like it's like, you know, like he wasn't gonna do nothing. He was sitting down and he was looking up at Trevor. And anyway, that was just something that happened. And you find out later that Trevor really did have some weird shit going on with the girl, and
exactly. You know. It was legitimate.
And you know, and one time we did a we premiered our trailer for The Process. We made a trailer. We got this guy who was a guy we looked up to, because he was the only other dude we knew who made a movie in town.
Yeah.
And we really looked up to that guy, and he edited our trailer, and we took it to this like guerrilla film festival, artistic festival place that was going on, and we showed the trailer there, and it was crowded, and we just wanted to see the reactions. Me and Sean just wanted to hear what people were going to say after that weird trailer. And so the trailer played, and there was like dead silence. For about 2 seconds. Now, it was just 2 seconds of dead silence after the trailer, and then Trevor goes, "Make some noise, people!" And then everybody started clapping, like, but it was all forced clapping. And me and Sean put our hands in our head, and then we filmed it. We filmed all the way back. We filmed it. We got in the car and we just took turns going off on Trevor. And Trevor was driving, and it was hilarious because we was tag teaming his ass. Like, what the fuck? That was so fucking embarrassing, dude. I mean, I could make some noise, people. Oh my god! And the sad part about it is the lighting was so bad that we couldn't use any of the footage, and that was going to go right into the movie because it was such a Trevor moment. And there's just moments like when we were making the movie, Trevor liked to take the camera, and we shot a lot of girls, and that was the whole thing. It was supposed to be like an exploitation flick meta movie. And so I used a lot of the girls that I shot pictures of, like I was shooting models all the time. So I used those girls to play the girls in the movie, the prostitutes and the girlfriends and stuff like that. And I did this thing called God shots, which were basically shots from the mind of the God in the film. Like, to me, like, there's the camera, which is God's eye, which is mm-hmm. what's everything being seen. And then there's actual inner side of the people, the inner self. And that's, I call that a God shot. And I got that from Oliver Stone. Just this kind of quick cut in the middle of a conversation of somebody talking, and you see what they're thinking through a mm-hmm. Movement or something that they're doing. And Trevor would use these God shots to shoot up the girls' crotches, shoot down the top of their dresses. And we put that in the movie. We put that in the movie, you know, because that was hilarious too. They're like, Trevor, stop shooting up my crotch, you know. And it's just stuff like that. It's just this little mischievous little never-do-well that doesn't want Trevor to succeed. And he always jumps out and fucks Trevor up at the last minute, like, you know. Like, yeah, Trevor's got a podcast. He might be going somewhere with that. Let me fuck that up.
So he knows that you're on the show, right? Like, he knows that.
Yeah, he don't like it, but yeah, he knows. Okay.
What does he think about the fact that I am now the producer of Table Reads until Sean gets his own hardware set up?
Yeah, he hasn't even talked to me about that. Here's the thing about it. I've been holding off on calling Trevor because of the last conversation we had about the situation, and I told him that I was going to do the show and his reaction to it, and I was like, I'm going to wait until after I do the show to talk to him, because everything I get from him is we're going to do the show next week. I was going to say something on the podcast, but he hasn't done the podcast yet, so I'm just like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah,
I'm just giving him space.
Yeah, and you know, I can't wait to hear the next episode of Touché El Douché, just to see.
I can't wait to do it.
Just to see how delusional it is.
Oh man!
Oh, it's going. Oh man! It's always that way. It's always a firework.
You have to promise me one thing.
Yeah,
you won't refer to me by my name. You will only refer to me as the big fat faggot.
You know, that won't be a problem. That'll be
hey, come on now.
No, Trevor will be doing that automatically, so I ain't got to worry about that. He loves to do that. He's like that big fat faggot. And here's the thing, Trevor is a comedian, and he's in
you fooled
humor.
Me on that one.
Well, that's... I hear it,
but he actually gets on the stage and he does material. Now, it doesn't always go over very well, but he actually gets up there and does it, which is a lot. So, but the thing about it is, it's very caustic. It's always been very, like, ooh, cringy, sort of like, you'll laugh at it sometimes and it'll be really funny, but it'll always be something that you ain't supposed to laugh at.
Oh, yeah.
That's Trevor's thing, and he uses that as a defense mechanism a lot of times, and some of that was in the stuff that he was doing with Duff. And so it was just weird that he let it get to where he let it get to. I'm just like, you got to stop taking this stuff so serious. It was just some boobs, man. I would have never put him up there in the first place. I would have looked at them nipples and said, nah, I'm just going to be on the safe side and, you know, just keep cutting them out of there.
That's the funny thing about it. It wasn't even that. It was just like, hey, here's a little star thing.
Well, no, it had nothing to do with the nipple at all. It had to do with the fact that he hadn't paid his network dues of $11 in the last 2 months.
Didn't hear about that. No.
Yeah, no, he refused to pay it and demanded that I give him his password. It's like, bitch, you play, you pay. You know, and like, when I told him that, he went off on a tirade about Carrie and me, a.k.a. Yeah, two executives of the network, which... It doesn't matter if you made fun of Mike. You don't do that to another member of the network. And that's the reason he's not here.
Yeah, you know what? I thought he was very disrespectful.
Well, thank you for backing me up.
I actually thought he was very disrespectful, especially to Carrie. And I would mess with him on the show about it. I'd be like, what the heck?
Oh, I know. I remember that.
I didn't even do anything to him. You know, it's like, okay, you want to play that? Well, I can play it too. You don't want to drag me into it.
You know what's funny? All Carrie ever did was be a woman in Trevor's eyes, and that was enough.
Yeah.
It's like he swore up and down that she was so hurt and all this. And he wanted to make her like a stereotypical woman so bad.
Oh, and she is
that
not.
That anytime that she like reacted, and it's funny because when he's on the episode, she stopped talking. And he still was saying stuff, and she was like, "I don't really have an issue with that. I don't have a problem." And he was like, "Yeah, well, you're a woman." And like, it was just all this.
It's like you're trying to make me into the typical woman who gets upset because you said the word cunt. That is my favorite fucking word. Okay, it's And you're trying to put into me that I should be upset because you're a misogynist. I don't fucking care. All you're doing is hurting your chances of getting some fucking pussy. I don't care.
It's such a mask. It's such a mask because here's the thing about Trevor. He is very misogynistic on the surface. Like, he can really rub you the wrong way. But he always creeped out the girls. He did do the crotch stuff or whatever. But when he gets a girlfriend, and he likes that girlfriend.
I told you, sweetest, nicest,
opening doors, fucking looking at you sideways because you said something. You know, like I know you ain't looking at me like that after what you said in front of my girlfriend. And you know, he'll give you that look like, oh, come on, man, come on.
See, it's funny. I told him, I was like, look, I said, I know I've met guys like Trevor before. It's like, it's a persona to not get hurt. It's like, but the moment they get a girlfriend or something, they're like head over heels to doing every chivalrous thing they can do for, you know, it's just like, all right, fuck out.
That's very perceptive of you, Mike.
When he was on the show, he was talking all that noise. I was laughing. I was like, you don't do that. I was like, talking all the shit he does.
Like, you know, like, no, you don't. No, you don't. I've seen it. I've been there, dude. I have been there. I have seen the girls that he falls in love with, they are always the dominant alpha, you know. they are not no little wallflowers, you know. The chicks, they would be the kind of chick like Carrie. Like, Carrie's not letting anybody bend her or bowl her over. Yeah.
Oh, so that's what it was. He was attracted to Carrie.
He was intimidated.
Maybe.
So he's like the little boy in school that pulls your hair. He likes you. That is kind of what he does.
Cause I mean, I'm telling you, the chicks that, and all of the chicks, every one of the chicks that Trevor's gone out with, they've gotten the dude. They went on to get the dude and the life. Like, you look at them and their social media.
So he's the starter douche.
It's exactly, and it's so messed up to be that. I mean, I feel for my boy. Ain't nothing worse than, like, you know, looking at your girl and the next guy, you got her in like a little McMansion, and you know she ain't working and her nails are done all the time, and she don't look nothing like the chick you with. I wish she looks like some reality show housewife.
She looks better. Oh, that's too funny. I told you, Duffy. I know. I actually have a friend like that. And he's like, he spent a whole year talking to girls and getting numbers, and not one. He would go on one date, and the girls would be like, "Nah, I'm good. Never again." And he became this really like misogynistic, just woman hater. And it's like, dog, if you would have got some ass, you would be totally different. Like, I know whenever you get a girlfriend, you're not gonna be this guy. And he's like, no, girls ain't shit, blah, blah, they're only good for sex. I'm like, but you're not having sex with them, so what are you talking about? Yeah. And it's funny, that's why I was like, when Trevor started talking, I was like, all right, first of all, I told him, I was like, first of all, you don't have the money to talk how you talk, and you don't have the body or the looks for it. Not to say I'm a beautiful man or nothing, but...
Oh, you are a beautiful man, Michael.
Yeah, you're a beautiful man.
I saw Trevor, and I'm like, look, no, nothing against you, but the way that you talk doesn't match your financial status and your looks. Like, if you're a fat piece of shit, but you're a millionaire and you're famous or something, yeah, you could do that to girls all day and you'll still get them because, you know, they want the money or they want the fame. But when you got neither one of those things that you do, I'm like, you're not getting no ass, bro. Unless you're paying for it, you're not getting it. I'm sorry. I don't believe you.
Yeah.
I don't ever get to witness it, but I've been around for the ass getting, and I'll be amazed. I'll be like, "Wow, you got that? That's crazy." the girlfriends, like I'm just saying, they're all these stellar chicks, you know. But they'd only went out with them for a while, and they always break Trevor's heart. Trevor gets his heart broken, and then they move on to some other guy. And sometimes Trevor isn't good at letting them go, and it's just so what we get is this shit. Because there's no therapist, you know, and we're not qualified enough to really help him through these problems. We're just friends, man. I'm not the guru. I'm not the magi, man. I don't know how to help. I got that same problem
with a good friend of mine, and it's like every time, except he doesn't even get to the girlfriend stage anymore. Like, it's so bad. Like, he's going out of his way to annoy people. Like, he'll walk up to groups of people and annoy them that he's never met. Just like try to say the most craziest thing. We're like, why would you do that? Like, and he'll brag about, oh man, I got them to walk away within like 2 minutes. I'm like, why? They were cute. Why would you do that? Like,
because that's his options now. See, he done limited himself to like, well, exactly. How much can I turn him off? How fast can I turn them off? Because I'm turning them off. But I mean, I got to get used to that. So let me just see if I can break a record. You know? If I'm going to turn people off, I'm going to be the Eminem of turning people off.
Exactly. I'm going to be professional with it.
Yeah.
Well, you guys talk about turning people off and going and you know, breaking records with 2 minutes. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to go to a break for about 2.5 minutes. And when we get back, we are going to be doing everyone's favorite game, Stump the Chump. All that and more on Prime.
Hey, man, shit. Call Rogue Intel.
Hi, and thanks for calling Rogue Intel's podcast phone. Please listen carefully, as our options have changed. For English, press 1, or say English.
English.
For a list of podcasts, simply state the podcast you'd like to hear after the tone.
Prime.
Prime, news and commentary, with a twist. Luff and gang give their take on news, commentary and interviews in their podcast of infinite possibilities. Press 1 to play, or press 2 to play a random podcast.
Random? Shit.
Now loading a random podcast. Please go to theprimepod.com for more information. Now playing some awesome shizzies.
Shizzies? Man, you crazy ass crackers.
Movies, anime, comics, video games, and pop culture. These are but mere playthings for the manliest beings in all of podcasting history, the powerful Nerdcast. Hosted by the gurus of geekdom, Corey and Christian, join them each week to discuss all things nerd culture, everything from Star Wars to Dragon Ball Z, and everything in between. Find the powerful Nerdcast on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network at rogueintel.com.
Hey guys, Duff here from the Prime Podcast. I wanted to take a quick moment to thank our network, Rogue Intel. Rogue Intel gives us the ability to speak our minds, be ourselves, and put out amazingly awesome podcasts. Be sure to check out their other shows at rogueintel.com. And if you want to help keep the network going, head over to rogueintel.com/Amazon for all your shopping needs. It doesn't cost you any extra, and a portion of your total will go to help support the network. That's rogueintel.com/Amazon.
Hi, it's Granny Potty Mouth. Aren't you having so much fun listening to Prime on the Rogue Intel Network? Fuck yeah! Hello, everybody, it's Granny Potty Mouth. Oh, I've just discovered fucking Prime on the Rogue Intel Network! Hoo-hoo-hoo. Fucking fun, come along! Hey fuckers, it's Granny Potty Mouth. You need to listen to Prime on the Rogue Intel Network. So fucking much fun!
And we're back on Prime. You know, Mike, I got a bone to pick with you. You couldn't just shut up and not laugh when she was talking.
Oh, you talking about her?
Yeah, great.
Well, yeah, because it's that goddamn apple pie grandma cussing. It's always good. I told you I'm just a big immature child, and I hope my son doesn't realize this. Because then he's just going to start doing stupid stuff. Like I tell people all the time, it's been so many times where he should have got a spanking, but I'm such an immature child that I was laughing at what he did or said. I did one of those muffled laughs. I was like, you go to your room or something like that. And I just died laughing. I was like, oh, that was a good one. That was a good one. I was like, so, yeah, I can't help it. I was like, also, I remember Carrie's sentiment about Potty Grandma, and she was kind of like, and when I hear those takes, like normally I'm like, yeah, but I'm like, she kind of was a little different when we interviewed her.
Yeah, but she was more sincere. But no, it was still a great interview. And if you want to check that out, you can go to our show page at theprimepod.com, and you can check out the episode with Granny Potty Mouth.
Yeah. Very professional, Pat.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm about to step it up. You think that's professional?
What? Oh, me?
Hey, yeah, man, you interrupted me.
I say nothing but a word.
Not you, Jimmy.
I say nothing but a word.
It's all Mike.
Oh, yeah, it was me. But you just started playing, so I just rolled with it, baby.
No, yeah, but you already interrupted me. You said, wait, hold on, wait.
I just I just wanted to point out I'm still very surprised that Jimmy's here and that Charlotte. This whole situation makes me laugh every time I see it. Oh, Petty Patty.
That's right. Stump the Chump is a game where we try to test each other's knowledge of pop culture. We've got three rounds, music, movies, and media, and we hope you don't sue us for playing the songs, because that would not be good. We love these guys, and so we're going to play them. It's fair use. There you go. All right, Carrie, we'll start us off with our first round, which is music.
This is from 1999.
Let me guess, the music genre?
Yes.
This is how the game's played.
Yeah. How is it played?
You have to pick stuff. Oh, you don't have clips, so you wouldn't know, but you're going to still enjoy getting to play along. This is how it's played. It's a song where everyone knows it, they've heard it, but can they tell us who it is? So this is how the music round is played. We need to get the artist and the name of the song in order to get the full point. Otherwise, it's half a point only. But you don't want to just blurt it out.
Kerr.
You just don't?
Yeah.
Don't respond to me, Kerr.
Hello.
That's why I love Kerr, baby.
I think I know who it is.
I know who it is, but I don't remember the name of that song.
I'm trying to ask her if she won't respond to me.
She doesn't need to respond.
Well, we're going to let Jimmy say what he thinks it is, because I already know.
I think it's the band Sugar Ray.
You and Michael are correct. Does anybody know the name of the song?
Someday.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Right. So I get half a point on that.
I should have guessed.
So Jimmy gets full pointage on that one. I get the half a point, and Mike gets the half a point. That brings us to Mike's music pick.
Now this one I call a little layup for you guys. I really enjoy the song. This is 80s, and we're going to go with, rock.
No.
Not really. Wait, it's not really rock. It's not really rock. It's like R&B pop or something. I don't know. Go ahead. Just play it.
Oh my God.
Dude.
I mean, that was a slam dunk. That was no layup.
That was great. I know both.
Yeah.
Who does it?
Well, I know both. I've already sent you my guess. So, Carrie, have you sent in your guess?
Yes, I did.
All right. Jimmy.
Yeah.
What you got?
That's Wham, Careless Whispers.
Do you agree, Carrie?
That's what I sent.
And that's exactly what I sent. Mike?
No, I just want to...
It's not George Michael. He was the singer.
No, I know it's Wham, but okay. The title I have is Never Gonna Dance Again.
Yeah, because you're an idiot.
Yeah, you weren't around to have to look at it on heavy rotation. Like
that. No, I was not.
So can I deduct half a point because you only knew the artist name?
No, because you've been playing rock for 7 months, so no, you cannot.
It's funny that you say I'm playing rock.
I like forcing you to go into other genres.
I guess that means it's time for my music pick. 1998 in Hip Hoppity.
What?
Fuck you, Mike.
Oh my gosh.
First of all, I'm trying to remember the song name. I already know who it is.
I can't remember I like the name of that song.
I like that you got the hip hop kind of rockish mix.
Do I get any points for knowing the band that they sampled?
No.
No, you can't. That's an easy one, too. That's
and it's actually, it's not a sample. It's live. Tom Morello played drums on the track. He did. Rage Against the Machine. Like, you know who Tom Morello is.
No, I know who played on. Yes, at that time, I was really into hip-hop, and I was trying to figure out why it was such a big deal, because it was for the Godzilla soundtrack. I remember. I know what I'm talking about.
That Godzilla movie. You know what messed me up? I was working at a toy store. I was working at a toy store, and we got the Godzilla dolls like right before the movie came out, and nobody knew what Godzilla looked like because they were like hiding it so good. But we got these damn dolls. We opened them suckers up and looked at them dolls and said, "Oh no, it's an iguana."
I like the newer one. I'll be honest.
I like the newer one, and I like that new Skull Island too. Boy, I like that.
I was a fan of that, but we're getting off the point here.
Yes, we are. All right, so Mike, do you know it, or you think you know it?
God damn, I'm trying to remember the name of the song.
Carrie, do you? Is Eminem the only guess you got?
Yeah, that's all I got. Okay. Look, my white's peeking through. Leave me alone.
You are full of caucasity today, Mr. Black Man.
Did you know that Tom Morello has a new band?
No, I did not.
It's called Prophets of Rage.
Oh, shit. We have got to take a listen to that.
See, I should get points for that.
You should, actually. Yeah, and, you know, Jimmy Page also did live guitars on that as well.
Yeah, and in the video, he was in it, too.
Yeah. All right, so...
I can't remember the name.
All right, let's talk about the name of the artist. Jimmy, what do you got?
Sean Combs.
A.K.A. Puff Daddy.
Puff Daddy.
Yeah. All right. You got it. All right. So Carrie does not get that half point, but Jimmy does get a half point so far, as does Mike. Now, Mike, you don't know the name of the song, do you?
I do know the name of the song, and I'm going to be so mad when you say it. I just can't think of it.
Jimmy, what is it?
I have no idea.
Really?
I didn't like it when it came out. I was devastated that Jimmy was playing on it. I was like, Tom, well, you better get back with Zach and get back to raging.
I agree. I totally agree. All right. That was Puff Daddy with Come With Me.
I knew it.
Nobody came.
Looks like Mr. Michael is slacking on his black duties there.
I apologize for that. I will make sure that next week it will be quite on point.
I'm glad that you got to hold up the black quota because
I
didn't know the name of that shit either.
You know, for a black guy, you listen to a lot of great music. Just saying.
Oh, you mean white music?
I call it variety.
For all of the people out there that follow Jimmy Williams on Facebook, he posts good morning music every day, and it's always great music.
Really?
Yeah, really. This is why you should follow Jimmy Williams on Facebook. Yeah.
Well, there's like a million of them.
Yeah.
Jimmy, we got to become friends now.
Yeah. I tried to change the spelling up, but you know what you're going to do.
Yeah. And you know what I love about Jimmy?
What's that?
Jimmy Williams.
That's all I got to say about that.
Capone hates me.
Does he really?
Yeah, Capone never liked me. He never did. I love Capone, though. He is a living caricature.
Hell, he is.
He is incredible. But, you know, and I kind of like that Capone doesn't like me. You know?
Doesn't matter if he likes you or not. The bill gets paid. He does the voiceovers.
Oh, I mean, I like the fact that he's not indifferent.
Al Capone is the voiceover guy for Table Reads.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and TED.
No. That's Art Carlson.
Oh.
Wait, no. Capone. Actually, no. Capone is Ted.
Yeah.
And Art Carlson is the voice of Table Reads.
There you go.
All right. Well, let's move on to the movie round. Carrie, take it away.
This is also from 1999.
And let me guess, it's a movie.
Yep.
News for you, you little two-bit prick, son of a bitch, rat bastard. You did nothing for me. Whatever you did the other day, it didn't take. I'm still fucked up. You did fucking nothing for me.
I did nothing for you? Really? I saw you for 5 minutes. What do you expect? You know, I can't work miracles, Mr. Vitti. Let me tell you something else. I do not appreciate it when somebody breaks into my hotel room and kidnaps me in the middle of the night. I have a family, I have a life, and I have a serious practice. And I don't have time for your bullshit. That got away from me.
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I've already set my guess in. Mike? Mike?
Something where people pretend to be gangsters.
I mean, I could do the Wilhelm. But when a screaming goat is so much more classier, I just...
I do like the screaming goat, I'll be honest.
Yeah. All right, you got nothing?
Nah, I've probably seen the movie too, so no.
Jimmy, what you got?
Dude, I've seen it like 10 times. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know who's in it. I know who stars in it. I just cannot. And I've
seen
it.
Yeah, I know both of the actors.
Yeah, but I just can't remember the name of it. It's like on the tip of my tongue, but not really.
Yeah. And this is one of the movies where the sequel was actually just as good, if not better, than the original. That was Analyze This.
I knew there was an Analyze in it, but I did not get it. I did not know the rest of it. I was like, I keep seeing the word analysis, but I was like, that's not it. That's not it.
That actually gives me an idea for next week.
What, Analyze That?
No, my goodness. Something similar, but I got you. Go ahead.
Was I right, Carrie?
Yes.
All right, just checking. Mike, what is your movie pick?
My movie pick, sir, is, God damn it,
you literally just recorded this, man. Instead of being on time at noon when we recorded
see,
today.
If you keep talking, I can't think when you're talking. just like the Charlie Brown's mother.
We now go live to the local black man.
Yes, I know, Jimmy. I stole that. Actually, he gave it to me.
It's all gravy. They get around, man.
Oh, wait. This is early 2000s comedy.
Are you sure?
Yep.
He's stupid.
I'm stupid.
Oh, where's shit,
no way, Dad.
Hey, oh, Pops, how you doing, man?
What's all the commotion down here?
Just school shit and shit.
How's my little guy doing?
Struggling. This quantum physics is confusing. If I don't buckle down, I'm going to give myself another B+.
Ooh, that'd be whack.
He's so fucking dumb, he think calculus is a goddamn emperor.
Yeah, well, you think polypeptide's a motherfucking toothpaste.
Oh, I got him out of here. I don't want to have to bust a cap. Kisses?
Daddy.
That's a great movie too.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's classic. Like, I love that. Yeah. All right. So I've already set my guess in. Jimmy, do you think you know it or you know it?
I know it.
All right, Carrie.
Me, myself, and Irene.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Look at all of you guys. Wow. Knowing stuff.
Yeah, it's Jim Carrey, man.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I figured out, you know what's funny? I was gonna do the first 30 seconds where he wasn't in it. I was like, that'll probably been harder. That probably might have been harder if I would have did that way.
I've seen it a lot, though. It's got Renee Zellweger, too, so that was a double for me. I was like, lovely.
Yeah. Have back you seen what she looks like now?
She looks like one of the housewives of Atlanta.
Ugh.
Yeah, yeah, she changed up her look hardcore, man. She did something to her eyes, which were her striking, significant feature, which makes her look so much different. If she had touched any other part of her face, it wouldn't have been as noticeable, but she messed with those eyes.
Yeah. And I'm going to mess with this movie pick, because now it's my turn. This is a 2005 action crime drama.
There are only two tragedies in life. One is not getting what you want. The other is getting it.
Is this one of yours?
Jack Valentine finally had what he wanted.
Curiously, the death certificate says he died of heart failure.
Falsifying a death certificate? It's not going to hold me.
You're right. Have you seen today's paper? There is hardly a warlord, dictator, or despot anywhere in the world that you're not on a first-name basis with.
I know that one.
I know this. I just got to remember the name.
Man, I got to say, if Jimmy wins this, we might need to get him ordained instead.
Yeah, that's messed up.
That's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, I used to have the banner above my bed.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love the co-star. Like,
what if I could tell you who the main character?
Well, let me see if Carrie has any guesses. Carrie, do you have any guesses?
No.
You got nothing. No. All right.
The problem is, it's like I know it and I just can't remember.
Hey, that's how I felt about Analyze This. Now you're in my boat, man.
All right, hold on.
It's right there too.
Yeah, it is. I'm just throwing something. I know it's in the title. I sent it.
All right. All right. We've got a guess from Mike.
It's not right.
We are going to go to Jimmy for the live guess.
The Lord of War.
That's what it is.
Take away the, and yes, it's Lord of War.
Never
Lord
saw it.
Dude.
I like it my way much better.
We own the movie. It's,
I don't
it's,
care. It doesn't mean I've seen it.
It's got Ooh. Jared Leto in it.
I haven't seen it.
Such a movie.
Yeah, he's trying to snort the Ukraine. It's so awesome.
Yeah. all right. Well, that gives Jimmy 4.5. Now, Mike, you had said King of War. I'll give you half a point for that.
That's nice because I knew it was there. I seen it on his face.
Yeah. Yeah. We all knew it was
right there. It's right there.
All right. Let's do the point rundown before we get on to the media round. With 2 points, Carrie. Sorry, Carrie.
Whatever.
Now, right below Carrie is Mike with 1.5. Right above Carrie is me with 3.5. And in the lead is Jimmy with 4.5, which isn't hard to do because he knows the answers and he doesn't have any guesses for us. So, boo. It doesn't really count until you bring your own clips.
You're right. I'm like cheating.
It's all good, man. That's what guests are for. Carrie, media pick.
TV show started in 1999.
I love you. I love you, Carrie.
As well you should.
You are my favorite motherfucker. I know it. I'm not even going to like send Carrie a guess. I know it. Jimmy? Anything?
I have no idea.
Really?
I've heard the music a bunch of times, but I have no idea.
It was a record-breaking show for 14 seasons.
No, 13.
13, sorry.
Yeah, and with the music, the music is so familiar. It's like right there.
Yeah.
And so I know that music.
Mike, you got nothing?
I'm going with, I'd be wrong. Oh, wait, can I say it or should I send it?
You can give a guess.
I'm going Weeds.
No.
That was so not Jimmy Cohen.
Damn, and look at that boy. He had that thing going for 13 seasons and...
Weeds was like five seasons.
I know, but he's thinking that it was Weeds, so he's got Weeds with all these seasons on it. And like, Weeds, man, that's all I'm thinking right now. Weeds.
That's all I'm thinking.
He needs to go smoke some Weeds because he was wrong. That was Good Eats with Alton Brown, my favorite chef.
You know what? Dang it.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? I should have freaking known that because that stuff comes on a lot.
All right, Mike, let's go on to your media pick.
Mine is 1990 comedy.
I'm Blaine Edwards.
And I'm Antoine Mayweather.
And welcome to Men on Films, the show that looks at movies
from a male point of view.
Tonight's show is sponsored by... Nuts and Honey.
Oh, I know that
I
one.
Give that two snaps up.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right, so it's safe to say we all know it?
We all know that. We know who did it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what's funny? Carrie and Duffy have been guessing, like, Living Color or, like, three or four. And y'all finally got it right.
That would be like me playing Nickelback or Blink 182.
That's basically what happened right here.
All right, so on the count of three, let's just give it to them. One... Two, three.
In living color.
Extra points for myself and Jimmy because we sang the answer.
Hey, David's from my hood, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, David Alan Greer. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know what? I'm very upset that the Carmichael show is going off. I really liked him on that.
Yeah, I like David.
All right, so that means that I have points. And
Jimmy has no points, okay?
Jimmy has points, and Carrie has points.
Stop giving him points. He didn't bring nothing.
That's right. He didn't bring anything.
Nothing, man.
He can't be winning when he has no goddamn clips, all right? I was late because I was trying to get these clips in.
So you can't make him prom king. He don't even go to the high school.
Exactly.
All right.
Him best dress. He just came this year.
All right. This one is a TV show that ran from 1986 to 2000, and then again from 2001 to 2003, then again from 2011 to 2013. I've got a hint if you need it, but hopefully you won't. I see that that blank look on Mike's face.
Glad you can't see mine. I'm like, damn, I can't even say that was familiar. That I know those chords, but that's it.
Wait a minute. You don't know this? Like, this is right up your wheelhouse, man.
Yeah.
Are you talking to me or Jimmy?
I'm talking to Jimmy.
I probably know it. But I don't know it right now.
Mike sent in a guess. He said Doctor Who. What the fuck?
That show was on for a long time. Isn't it still on or something like that?
It is on. It was. It ran from 1965 to 1989, and then a miniseries in the 90s, and then it came back on full force in 2005.
I was going to say Headbangers Ball. That's how, you know, I am.
Oh, Jesus. You do not know. Carrie, do you have any guesses whatsoever?
Nope.
All right. What's the other show with Pinfield?
Oh, my God.
All right, I'll give you guys a hint.
120 minutes?
I'll give you guys a hint. No, I don't even need to give you guys a hint, because you just said it. I'll give you half a point for that one. 120 minutes, man.
Nope. I was thinking MTV was one of those shows, but I couldn't think of the name of it.
It was MTV. It was 120 minutes, and then they did 120 minutes live.
Yeah, he's right. That's up my wheelhouse. I spent a lot of time on Headbangers Ball in 120 minutes.
See, I never got into Headbangers Ball because it was a lot of 80s glam metal and hair metal that I just
didn't. That's the first interview I ever saw Kurt Cobain do was on Headbangers Ball. He came out in his space age costume right before.
Kurt Cobain or Kurt Loder?
Kurt Cobain.
In a space age costume?
Yeah, he came out with, he was Ricky Rackman interviewing him, and he came out on there with a space age outfit and really weird hair. It was so off for 1991, and it was just like, what in the hell? And you could just tell they were so alternative and so underground. Just from the way he came out, it was like a cross between David Bowie and a grunge rocker.
Wow.
It was crazy. And how... I was very impressed with him in that band because they just did not give a shit. It was awesome.
Those
are things I remember. And I remember Rob Zombie painting the set while Ricky was doing interviews with other people. Rob Zombie was painting all the skulls.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, things like that.
Well, that's really cool. And you know what's really cool other than that is that you just won with 6 points.
He can't win.
He can't let that boy win. Where's the pig's blood? Where is the pig's blood?
All right, well, I'll tell you what. Because we only did 3 picks, I will, and he didn't give any, I will dock him 3 points, which ties him with Carrie, which means we now get to do the tiebreaker.
That's right.
Are you okay with that, Jimmy?
He has no say-so in this. He took the oy vey for me, but yeah.
Just an excuse to play the tiebreakers before we get out of here tonight. Carrie, your tiebreaker is?
It is music from 1991.
I do love that song. I really do.
I think I might have them both, but I know I got the title for sure.
Yeah, I got the title. Mike, do you have anything on this one?
There's no need for me to say anything.
Okay. So, hey, let's keep it going, Jimmy. You and me on the count of three, let's sing the title. One.
Life is a highway.
You bastard.
You know it.
You bastard. But I wanted to sing it. I wanted to harmonize with my...
Oh, you wanted to sing that?
I wanted to harmonize with my friend Jimmy.
That's the lamest Cochran song ever.
Cochran. Okay. I
followed him before he made that song. See, I was into him. And then that song came out, and I was like, well, that's the end of him.
Yeah.
It was.
I said Ed McCain because I couldn't think of who the hell it was, even though I knew it. We have that song somewhere. So who is the singer?
Tom Cochran, yes. I do believe.
All right. Well, Tom Cochran it is.
You used to go see Tom at the college shows, and he would come out and do this grungy sort of country rock stuff, and it was really independent and fresh, and then all of a sudden he had a hit, and it was over.
Yeah. And he was really a one-hit wonder to the mass media.
Exactly. You know, everybody don't remember all those cool shows that he did with R.E.M. and Throwing Muses. And yeah.
Damn, I love your taste of music, Jimmy. All right, tiebreaker pick for Mike, who's apparently undergoing an earthquake.
Oh, yeah. Sorry,
I'm like, dang, he's shaking like a mug. Man, he got Parkinson's over there.
You need to get your ass back to 1985.
No, while you guys were talking about a bunch of stuff I'm never going to listen to, I was looking at Jimmy's page. I was scrolling on the screen, forgetting that you guys could see me.
Wow.
My page is cool. I like my page. I put a lot of work into my page. I'm like, the only reason I have a Facebook is to make art out of it.
And I see that. I was like, oh, okay, wow. And then I was also, by looking at your daughter, thinking about my daughter, like, oh, God.
Yeah, that's what I said. I got that from the beginning. As soon as she was born, all the girls around me went, ooh, you in trouble.
All right, Mike, you know what time it is.
Tiebreaker. This is 2017 R&B pop rock, something like that.
Yeah, if I could go back to that day we met, I probably would just stay in bed. You run your mouth all over town, and this one goes out to the sound of breaking glass on my Range Rover. Pay me back, or bitch, it's over. All the presents I would send, fuck my friends behind my shoulder. Next time I'ma stay asleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And you got me thinking lately.
Artisan song. Artisan song.
I have nothing.
I'm going down in flames. Like,
wow.
I got a joke of a guess on the artist, but that's about it. Carrie, do you have anything?
No.
All right. I'm thinking T-Pain, but yeah, what the hell do I know?
You're in the wrong race.
This guy's white.
This kid is white.
That guy's... Yeah,
I thought he was, but I was like, who the heck could it be? Because I was like, that's a white kid that's kind of hip-hop-y, that's almost dubstep going on.
Yeah.
Like, ooh.
His album's not too bad. I just wanted this song to end up having to listen to like six or seven more songs. I was like, all right, go ahead. I didn't even know he was white until I saw him. But you probably would never get it. His name is Black Bear. That's the other thing. His name is Black Bear.
He's white. Wow. Kid.
And the song is called Do Re Mi. But it's actually a pretty, pretty sweet little song. You would like it, Duffy. It's got a little hip hop, but it's like, that's why I say it's like a rock dubstep type feel. You would like it.
That was such a ringer. We would have never guessed that.
That's exactly why I put it as my tiebreaker, because all I had to do was go from this year and a song that hasn't been played repeatedly yet.
Hey, that works. That's how the tiebreaker round is. It's a wild card. And yeah, speaking of tiebreakers, by the way, no one got any points on that because...
No, we didn't. But what about yours?
Apparently, we are too white for that. I am going to play a song. It's 2003 in indie rock. I've been hoping you're moping around the street again. I've been tripping from sipping the dripping dirty water tap. I've been poking a voodoo doll that you do not know I made for you, of you. Let's see what needles do. I've been shaking from making an awful decision. I've been thinking I'm drinking too many drinks all by myself. I've been running. Anything?
Is that the Libertines?
No.
All right.
No, it is not. It's from a 2003 album called Make Up the Breakdown that was not done by Blink-182, Nickelback, Theory of a Dead Man, or Bruce Springsteen in the E Street Band.
Well,
just clarifying, Mike.
First of all, how are you just going to step over Stone Temple Pilots?
It's not.
Or the White Stripes. I'm just guessing.
It's not them either.
Yeah, but you're surprised that I knew that, though, right?
It's not even the Blue Stripes.
It's the White Stripes.
It's not even Red Stripe beer. It's no.
Okay, Alien Ant Farm.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. Now, I'm surprised you knew that one, but.
He did the Michael Jackson cover.
They tore that up.
Yeah.
That video was so nice.
I know. And I love, like, that's my least favorite song from them. I love that song, but, like, the rest of the album.
That's the only song I know of them.
The rest of the album is so great. I love Truant. Truant is a great album. Yeah. Anyway, any takers whatsoever, Jimmy, nothing?
The Caucasian Cajuns of Caucasia.
Sum 41.
Does this look infected? No, it does not. Carrie, what is it?
It is Hot, Hot Heat with Bandages.
Hey!
Wait, what?
Yeah. Hey, don't
bitch. Now you know how it feels.
Don't bitch, Mr.
Black Bear. It's a Black Bear.
Don't get mad because you didn't recognize a fellow Caucasian when you heard
Well, him. Don't get mad when you didn't recognize a fellow maker of good fucking music.
Who?
Hot, Hot Heat! That whole album is great.
Gonna go look it up. Put it in my file.
Well, that was this episode's rendition of Stump the Chump. Yeah. That's right. We're done with Stump the Chump. I only started putting the outro or the intro in again for the outro because Mike requested it.
Yes, I very much like that.
I'm glad
I do that
you
too.
Like that.
I always wanted Trevor to keep the raisins at the end of Ted.
Oh, meeting. I love
and it,
good
he took
looking
him out.
Out.
Yeah, he took him out, and I said, "No, man, I love that. I lip sync to that every time."
I know it's like you know, if you're gonna take something out of the minute and 34-second intro he puts on there.
He'd say, "Why are you taking out the raisins?
Keep the raisins. Cool. That's the best part."
Yeah, you know.
Thanks for the raisins.
Yeah, was it Loretta's Golden Car Park?
Car Park. Yeah.
Yeah,
you
love
know,
that
I keep
shit.
Forgetting that not only is Jimmy. Like very wide, like have a wide taste of music, but he's also a little bit older than me. I forget that.
Yeah, yeah. Which is why we can jam on Jimmy and you know Gentle Giant, Jethro Tull, Genesis, all that good classic rock. Led Zeppelin.
I got taught. My dad and my uncle stuck me in front of the stereo when I was 3 years old. Stuck me right in front of the stereo when I was 3 years old and played Frank Zappa's Mothers of Invention. And
wow.
They played Jimi
and you were
Hendrix
in Detroit at the time?
Yeah, they were different.
They skipped over Motown and went straight to
that? No. All of that stuff was stuff that got played constantly through the house. All of the R&Bs, the jazz and stuff like that. But my uncle was really into like everything. So I heard like Miles Davis, I heard Frank Zappa, I heard Rod Stewart, and you know, the original stuff like from the Faces and, you know, before he went solo, and it's just a lot of
what you're talking about.
David Bowie. That's how I grew up. So my taste in music was always like everything, like rock, reggae, classical, anything. I like it all.
Well, I dig on that, man. That's really wicked. So yes, Jimmy, thank you so much for coming out. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for not feeling personally attacked after what went down between Trevor and the network.
But you know, it's anybody that could read that stuff and is a rational person would have just went, Trevor, what the fuck? You know, and that's where we're at. It's like nothing amazing I did. I'm just siding with the rational person, like a rational person would do. It's amazing that you can get that. You got to get complimented on acting like you got common sense. That's how messed up this world has become.
Well, we are going to get out of here. If you like the show, share the show. Apple Music or whatever podcast distributor that you like to go with, just, you know, send a link out, subscribe, all that good stuff. We are going to get out of here. Thank you, Mike, of course, for being punctual as always.
You know it, baby.
And Carrie, you are the true talent. Any parting words from our guest, Jimmy?
I just love being on the show, and I hope we do it again soon.
Well, dude, you've got an open invite. Open invite.
Patty Patty.
Get your ear holes ready for some prime post-roll.
Jimmy, I want to thank you for coming out tonight. I know
it
we've
was
been
such a pleasure. Such a pleasure. We got to do it again.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to come back. That way it'll be two black people on here. So.
Three black people.
Correction. I apologize.
I'm open. I'm very open to that.
Well, I want to see. I want him to come back after they do the a TED show, and then
most deaf. Keep that boy around. He got good ideas.
Because that one is going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to take time out of my day to listen. I normally just listen to clips, like the last time Duffy went on there or whatever. I just listened to the clips, and I was like, oh, okay. Well, yeah. I can't get behind that. It's like, but yeah, I know this next one is just going to be a fueled.
Oh, my Lord.
Rage, just like this fueled with baggage and baggage.
Do you know if he heard the episode of Prime that we did?
You forgot the Benedict Arnold's and turncoat.
Oh, listen, I was going to say, I can't wait till he starts turning on you guys. That's why I'm like, when Patrick was telling me, like, yeah, I'm on Sean's show and Jimmy said he's going to come on. I'm like, really? Like, this sounds like either a setup or they're just like, maybe they're as annoyed by the situation. I'm gonna be honest with you. I thought you were just gonna come on here like, not you. Actually, I only talked to you once, but it didn't seem like you would. But I was like, he might come on here and just talk shit. Like, you know what? Fuck you. It's Trevor's the man. Blah, blah, blah. You know, something crazy. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good show.
He's like, yeah, but I can hear that. I can hear it.
Fight. It's like, so that's what it was funny. I'm like, all right. And I want Sean to come on. Actually, I want Sean to come on next.
Yeah, I missed the tripod. That's why Trevor's like thinking they're trying to break up the tripod. I'm like, nobody's going to break up the tripod but you. Trevor. You're the one that's trying to break up the tripod.
See, that's the other thing. When I hear you talk like this, I'm like, what does he say to you guys? When he hears, like, when Duffy told me he went on his show and not only went on there, actually was talking on it and reading, I'm like, That seems so fucked up.
For Trevor, maybe.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, did you really do it?
Hey, I'm sick and tired of being stepped on. And, you know.
And thank you. And plus, Sean's going to want to work with people that know what they're doing and are professional. That's how he is right now. That is the crux between them at this very moment, I think, is that the more Sean works on these television shows and the more professionalism he is around, the more he wants that inside of his shit, you know? And Trevor is just like, Trevor could get an internship at Adult Swim and then fuck it up the same day. That's just not good, you know, because that's where he wants to go.
Didn't he just fuck that up? Like, I could be on crack or something, but didn't he have an interview with...
Yeah, he messed it up.
Wait, what happened? Dude, let's not just jump over. I want to hear what happened.
Well, he Trevor's friends with Vince Waller, who's the guy that created SpongeBob, you know.
Really?
And yeah, Trevor, when we were out in L.A., Trevor was hanging out with John Crisfalusi, Vince Waller, the real animators, the top dudes, you know. He made his way into that circle. And basically, Vince was giving him a referral. And Trevor just approached the guy at the wrong time and in a weird way or something. And it got, you know, threw under the rug. And I don't think he's jumped back on the boat. I think that was close call for Trevor, that he almost had some success, or he might get into the door and have some success. Mm-hmm. And he kind of messes it up for himself. See, that's my belief about Trevor, is that he wants to be reject before he gets rejected.
Oh man, this is gonna be good. This is gonna be good. Like, I'm gonna actually cut. I'm gonna cut all this out and put it on post show, so we can pretty much. Yeah. I mean, we still have to close the show, but we can enjoy ourselves a little bit. Now, the one question I asked, I don't know that I received a response back. Do you know if he actually listened to Prime, the episode that was done right after all the shit went down?
Oh, that, wow! I want to know.
He did not tell me, but if he finds out. When he finds out that I was on, he's going to want to find that episode. That's for damn
sure.
He's going to go back and he go, and I'm going to hear a lot of shit about the shit I said on the show.
Yeah.
The only thing I can tell that boy is, you know, it's the same shit I say to your face. Just deal with it. Don't be upset because other people got. I share it with other people. I do.
You're not sharing with just random people.
But I share it with other people. I share with
the victims of Hurricane.
Yes, Hurricane Trevor. I vent, man. You got to let me vent, baby.
Hey, Trevor. Prime episode 210. In case you're too lazy to
look. Petty, petty.
Look it up, boy. Look it up. Yeah, you got to give them all the directions and stuff. Oh, that's my boy. here's one of the things that I got to say about Trevor, even though it's not sucking up to him, but this is one of the things. Like, people are like, why?
Well, How can you guys still deal with it?
Yeah, he's your boy. Why is he your boy so much? I'll tell you. From 2002 till now, Trevor has been trying to sell that movie. Yeah. The reason I was out in L.A. was because Trevor was trying to sell that movie in 2010 after it had been done in 2007. I ended up out in L.A. because he showed it to a producer out there. And I met a lot of cool people in L.A., a lot of famous people. And I got to see how the other side lived. And it was really nice. And that was because of Trevor. And then when he got his stuff together and got his podcast, I'm on Jimmy. You got it. You know, he's always reaching out to me when it comes to the art and stuff like that so we could be involved. It's just that as a leader, and he doesn't want to see himself as a leader or the leader or the producer or whatever, but he's always wants to be in that spot because he don't want nobody telling him what to do, but he doesn't want the responsibilities of that spot. At the same time, he's got to get that together because I'm like, you're the leader of the show, man. You know, it's up to you. And then he's like, I don't really care about Ted that much. I care about, you know, this thing over here, more this Looney Tunes thing, and I'm just like, okay, man, whatever, man. Just, you know, I'm looking at, it's just stuff like that. Like, you know, you gotta go for broke, man. You can't just be doing this podcast for nothing you don't want to work for somebody, Trevor. You come from a family with money, and you don't want to be working for people. And he can't work for people. He just never can work for people for long. So you're going to have to do your own thing. You have to suck it up, buttercup, learn how to play well with others, and start networking the right way. But he's just freedom of speech, and you can't tell me what to do, and Wouldn't this be funny if I did this right now?
I'm gonna be honest with you. That sounds like a spoiled rich kid attitude. I'll be honest with you.
You see it all the time. You know, you see it all the time on them. And the thing is, me and Sean come from dirt, like dirt. You know, it's like, you know, both of us. We are the welfare kids. You know, I grew up in Detroit. My mom didn't start working steady until I was 10 years old. So I grew up with a poor. And Sean's mother, you got to let Sean tell you about that.
Oh, boy, I've heard some shit.
Oh, my goodness.
I want to hear it.
That is a horror show. So, you know, and it's amazing that Sean turned out like he did. So he's very driven and focused because he wants to be the antithesis of what he should be. Mm-hmm. And that's somebody raised by just fucked up ass alcoholic, messed up white trash mother. So he should be white trash, alcoholic, Irish fuck. But he isn't.
Yeah.
He isn't. He's being the opposite of it. And him and Trevor, that's where the rub's going to become. He's just getting more and more professional, and he's getting more aware of the time and mortality as he hits middle age like I did, and he wants to get serious, and Trevor is in denial. It's not good. It's a rough combination.
I really want to hear Trevor's goddamn response to all this stuff you're saying. I really want to be on the phone three-way. I just want to like cover the damn receiver and just listen to you guys go ahead.
Well, I'm gonna tell him before we do the show so that he can have something to say, because I'm gonna let him know I did the podcast, and so you know, by the time we do the show, he'll have listened to it, and he could really go in on me and on Duff and on Carrie. He loves to
it's because he's Carrie. Attracted to her.
I always wondered what the deal was. I'm like, what in the world is your problem with Carrie?
She's a woman.
It's the chick. Yeah, it's the chick. So I got to, like, you know, do that to the chick. And it's just so insecure. It's so, like, look at me, pull the ponytail, like she said. It's so there. Yeah. It's just, yeah, God, Trevor, come on.
I wish I would have had more drama with him now, because I get that out of him. I don't even know about throwing it. You remember, like, oh, and they got the nigger on there, too.
Oh, God. Jesus, Michael.
He put the hard E on it.
The ER on it.
Put the hard ER on it.
But no, it's funny, because it's like, although I'm in it, I'm not in it, because it's like Carrie and Duff. And it's kind of like I'm just sitting back like, wow. That's crazy. And then I'm listening to you guys, and I went on your show, and I'm like, even when I was on his show, he was kind of like shitting on him. I had to like, hey, oh, that's my people's, dog. And it was like, he didn't even like try to correct me or anything. He was like, all right, whatever. And they just went on with the conversation. I was like, oh, I guess I'm not, I kind of want to be in some mess every now and then.
The one thing about him that I like is that he'll say anything, and he'll go out there with it. But then there's a lot of times where he kind of leans back and sits in the cut and lets me and Sean do all the talking. And it's just a balance he has to get. He has to figure out what his place is, how he's going to flow like Duff does, you know.
I like this. Look at Duffy smiling.